Well, thank you, Pete. Thank you for coming this morning. It's so good to see you. As he said, what a cool day yesterday to see so many people come out and just have a great time. Thankful for the nice weather. But just this morning, as I was trying to wake up and thinking back about yesterday, getting ready for today, I just thought, man, I am so blessed to be a part of this community of faith, this community DB, and just to see what God is doing. I'm excited to be a part of it. So, well, we're starting a new series today called Renovation. Not conformed, but transformed. So, renovation. We know what renovation is, right? Here in Discovery Bay, you've probably got a neighbor who's doing that. And so, if one person's doing renovation, the whole building is doing renovation. We all know this. So, what is renovation? Well, renovation is where you take something that's old and you make it new again, right? Something that has this old feel is now going to seem like it's brand new. Or maybe it's a different version of something. It was this, and now we're going to change it a little bit. You know, we know what renovation is. Here's an example. There's a before and after. The top picture is the before. They do a renovation on this house. That's serious, right? They've like doubled the square footage of the place, all right? That's serious renovation. There's another one here, a kitchen renovation. Look at this. I mean, the first one's pretty nice, right? It's like the size of our whole flat. But then they make the island bigger. They move the sink to the island. They add this much bigger vent-a-hood, and they move the stove around. They add another oven. They change all the colors, you know, so it's renovation. Sometimes renovations don't go well, actually. People didn't think it through all the way. Maybe this is going to bring back memories. Do we have any do-it-yourself people in the room? Yes, you've made mistakes like this, maybe. This one you wouldn't make very many times. You make this one once and you're done, right? Here's another one. Someone didn't think it through. Like, we just want more drawers. We're going to put drawers everywhere. Oh, wait. It's important to be able to open those things. Here's another one that I don't know what they were thinking. I really don't understand how the landscaper and the rest of the people, I mean, they even put a tree there, right? They planted a tree. Right? Can you see that? I don't know if that's visible to everybody. Like, there's a tree. I mean, I'm not even sure that's real. Maybe someone just photoshopped that one, but that's bad news. Here's one more renovation. This is a real one. This is actually something that you may have seen in your old life called a garage. We don't have those here, but maybe you remember, so this may make you miss your home country. But there's the before and the after, right? And so I'm familiar with the one on the left side. I've seen that garage. This one on the right side I haven't seen yet. And it says before and after. Maybe it's before and after the children leave home. Once the children are gone, then you have time and space, and you don't have as many bicycles and so on, and so you can have this super organized garage. I've never seen that, maybe one day, right? But renovation is this changing from one look to a different look, one function to a different function. And it's important for us to think about this in the terms of our own spiritual walk. Renovation, what's God doing? What changes is he making? The theme verse is Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed. Don't look like this world. But be transformed. And so there's this clear indication that we don't just stay like everyone else. We're changing. We're being renovated. We're being transformed. The work is happening, and we're not staying the same. You know, last week we celebrated baptism, as he mentioned, and it's such a great picture because baptism is a person, they go down under the water, right? And that's the burial of the old. The old life is gone. You're signifying, I'm dead. The old me is dead. And then you come back out of the water, and it's like, it's a new life. I'm a new person. It's a fresh start. And so there's this idea of the old going and the new coming in. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so this is a pretty clear picture of the old is gone, the new has come. This renovation, this change process that we have as Christians going on in our lives. And so as Christians, you know, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, as Christians, we're either growing or the old word, backsliding, right? There's no just holding steady. Sometimes people say, how are you doing? Well, I'm just kind of hanging in there. No, you're not hanging in there. Either you're growing closer or you're slipping further away. you can't just maintain your relationship. You have to be investing and growing closer to Him. And so, you know, we have this idea that, you know, I'm going to become a Christian, and I put the Christian sticker on my shirt, and I'm good. I continue about my old life. That's not how it works. You don't just continue the old way. There's this new thing that happens inside of you, and God wants to continually be making changes and helping you grow. And so along those lines, I would just ask you, if you look at where you are today, how does that compare to where you were a year ago? If you were to talk to yourself a year ago and then look at where you are today, do we see changes? Do we see some renovations that have been happening, some growth, some transformation that God's been bringing about in your heart and your life? Hopefully you say, yes, it's so much better today than it was a year ago. God's doing great stuff in my life. But maybe you would say, honestly, today, you know, I've kind of been trying to coast, and I can feel that I'm slipping. I'm not moving forward. I haven't been pressing into God's word. I haven't been listening to the Spirit and obeying to His promptings. But we can't fix that. But we can think about this. What about a year from now? Where are you today? And what about a year from now? Where will you be? And what steps need to be taken for you to make it to a new place, to be transformed in some new ways? And that's what this series is really about, to just ask the question, are we moving? Are we changing? Are we allowing God to do some renovation in us? We've used this picture for a while now, and you know, we're talking about growth, how in the spiritual realm, where are we? And instead of me trying to figure it out, I just ask you, where are you in this relationship with Christ? Are you exploring, still on the outside a little bit, looking in, checking things out, asking questions? Or have you moved into the growing phase where you say, you know what, I'm in, and you're beginning to dive into God's word and explore more of that relationship, grow in that relationship. Maybe you're close to Christ, or man, it's a huge deal. Everything really, you're going to ask about what His thoughts are. Or maybe you're in that last one, surrendered. We sang about it a few minutes ago. I'm surrendered, everything. I lay it all down for you, right? It's all for you. I surrender. And so are you surrendered where nothing matters as much as Jesus? Christ is enough for me. As we sang the words a while ago, is that true that I'm surrendered? Everything belongs to Him. And we've talked about these different places, but then we've also talked about what it takes to make that move. In fact, we've learned that between those first two phases, there's a line. There's a barrier, so to speak, that has to be stepped over to get to that next one. The people who are on the outside, there's this step you have to take, the step of faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And so you don't just show up one day. There's this step that you take. I'm going to believe. I'm going to have belief in Jesus. And not just, you know, my dad did, my sister did, my spouse did, my brother did. No, I'm, for me, deciding to follow Jesus. Again, like we sang a minute ago, I'm deciding to follow Jesus. So there's that step of belief. And if you haven't taken that step, maybe that's your transformation step, your renovation step today. And we'll talk more about that later in the service. Maybe you've done that and you've been growing, but for you, the next step would be to go through the disciplines, you know, to spend time in God's word, reading. God, what are you saying to me? Spend time talking back with Him in prayer and begin this relationship conversation. So you begin to spend time doing these disciplines, exercising your faith. Not just, okay, that's interesting, I do it on Sundays, but every day begin to have the conversation. Or maybe that last one, that surrender, to get into the place where you're Christ-centered. Maybe you have to say, you know what, I've been holding on to things, but I've got to let that go. So what is it for you? What changes does God want to make? Well, for that to happen, we look at the rest of Romans 12, verse 2. Here's the rest of the verse. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so here's what happens. We have to have a new perspective, and the way we get the new perspective is time with God. This relationship, as we spend time with Him, He speaks to us and our mind shifts away from the things that we used to think were important. And He shows us something new and better, and we're thinking, well, that's silly. I want what you have. And so He renew, right? Renovation, renew. He's making our minds new again. The old, the trash, the clouds, the things the enemy has polluted our minds with are washed away as he renews our minds. And that's how the transformation can happen. As we spend time with them, he helps us. And so as we're in this series, Renovation, we're going to be looking at four different Bible characters and how God renovated their lives. And so the first one we're going to start with is this great guy. You know who this is? Moses. Whoa, speaking of renovation, this guy really, really had a lot of the crazy things happen in his life. Let me just walk through it quickly. So first of all, we know that he was an illegal son. Okay, so if anybody has to think about, okay, being illegal somewhere, this guy was illegal. The children of Israel were so prolific, they were growing. The king, the Pharaoh of Egypt said, hey, we can't have any more. You guys are growing too fast. All the baby boys, throw them into the Nile River. Okay? Wow, that's a big deal. And so they're supposed to throw their sons in the Nile River and let them die so the population wouldn't keep growing. But the parents of Moses said, oh, he's beautiful. He's beautiful. Let's keep him. So they kept him for, I think it was 3 months, right? And then finally she complies with the rule. But she does it with a little twist, doesn't she? She builds a basket. Moms are creative, right? She builds this basket and she makes it waterproof. She puts him in the basket and then puts him in the river. So he's in the river. He's in the river. Puts him in the river. He just happens coincidentally to float down to the palace area, and the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, comes and sees him. She says, oh, I love this baby. I'm going to adopt him. Wow. Moses goes from should have died to prince, just like that, right? So this is Moses. He grows up in the palace in Egypt, all right? So all the finest things, education, nutrition, whatever, right? He gets the best of everything. This is Moses. And then he hits 40 years of age, and he has a midlife crisis, right? Okay, by the way, in case you're wondering, midlife crisis for guys is real, right? Okay? So anybody here between the age of 40 to 45, raise your hand. Okay, yes. Anybody here 35 to 40, raise your hand. Okay, all those people just raised, watch out for them, okay? Because they're on the front edge. No, I heard a guy the other day, he was telling me, he's like, okay, yeah, midlife crisis. This guy was 40 that was telling me. He's like, yeah, I've been given some good advice. And the advice is this: don't quit your job. Don't divorce your wife. Don't buy a motorcycle. Because there's just something that happens around the age of 40 to 45, sometimes a little bit older, maybe a little sooner. But there's just this thought of, oh no, my life is not what I thought it was going to be. I have to fix this. And so guys do crazy stuff when they're 40, 45, whatever, right? And they go buy a motorcycle or decide they're going to trade in their wife for a different one. It's just crazy stuff these guys do. It's like, no, just settle down. Just settle down. It'll pass. It'll be okay. But Moses goes into midlife crisis mode. He does. He's 40 and he's like, wait a second. What am I doing? I'm supposed to save these people. So he goes out one day to save these people and he kills one of the taskmasters. Like, yeah, that was a good day. We'll see what happens tomorrow. He goes out tomorrow, and they're like, yeah, we heard about what happened. He's like, oh, no, I'm in big trouble. And he runs away. He quits his job, right? He runs off to Midian. He runs away. And so he gives up all that he had, and he runs off to Midian, and he becomes a shepherd. This guy named Jethro's out there, and so he's hiring, I guess, shepherds. And so he's like, hey, I'll take that job. Sounds good. So he becomes a shepherd. He has a daughter. Okay, I'll marry her. Sounds good. And have children. So he's like, this whole new world is like, okay, that life and this life, very different. But he's completely changed his life, right? He's gone through a huge transition. So he stays in Midian for 40 years. 40 years. Okay? Now, the first 40 years of his life, he's doing education, he's growing up, he's, you know, all these things are changing, especially the first 20 years, we know how that is, right? But then he has 20 years of, you know, palace life, whatever. But then he has this 40-year section of being a shepherd, okay? So I just want to see if we can get a feel for 40 years in the same job, okay? Has anyone, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of march this forward. If you've been in the same job for 10 years or longer, would you please raise your hand and keep it up, okay? 10 years or longer, keep your hand up. Good. 15 years, keep your hand up. If you've been doing it for 15 years or longer, good. 20 years or longer, okay? 20 years or more. Wow, we've got a few of these. Impressive. 25 or more. Unbelievable. We still have some hands in the air. Okay, 30 years or more. We still have one. There's only one. Anybody else? I just see one. Two. I see one. Where's the other one? Mine is not up. Oh, right there. Okay. Hiding behind that one. Nice. Okay. What was the last number? 30? 35. None? So 30 is the most, right? By the way, what have you been doing for 30 years? What's that? Consulting. Nice. You? Air traffic control. Wow. I don't know how either one of you are alive. Both of those are tough jobs. 30 years. But listen to this, guys. We're all amazed right now, right? 30 years. These guys have been doing this. Bravo. That doesn't happen anymore. We can give them a hand. Yeah. Doesn't cost us anything to clap. Okay. So put 10 more years on top of that, and that's Moses being a shepherd. Okay? 40 years he's been out in the wilderness walking around with sheep. Okay? This is Moses' life, 40 years. It's hot. It's dusty. Those sheep stink. 40 years he's been doing this. Okay? All right, so that's really where our story picks up. And so if you go to Exodus chapter 2, at the very end of the chapter, we're going to look at a few things from Moses' life. So if you have a Bible, please open it, turn it on, flip the pages, open the app, whatever it may be, and turn to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to pick up at the very end of that chapter and then move into chapter 3. So Exodus chapter 2, we see Moses, he's out in the wilderness, and then here's what's happening while Moses is there. At the end of chapter 2, verse 23 says this, "During those many days," that's Moses out in the wilderness being a shepherd, "the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." And so, again, in case you feel like God doesn't see what's happening, right, while Moses is going through his 40-year training of being a shepherd, he still sees. Okay, so in case you feel like he doesn't see, just trust me, he sees, and he knows, and he's hearing. Okay, he's with you. Don't be afraid. So this is now where everybody is. God hears them. Now we have chapter 3. "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Okay. Really clear what's happening, right? Moses is working for whom? Father-in-law. Okay. He's working for his father-in-law. It's not his own business. He's working for his wife's dad's business out in the wilderness for 40 years. He's a prince of Egypt, and yet he's working for his father-in-law keeping sheep. Okay? That's not a, like, what's happening? That doesn't fit. What's going on here? So he's working for his father-in-law. Let's look at verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.'" Verse 4, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings.'" Jump down to verse 10. "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So here's this experience now that we've heard about, we've seen in movies, the burning bush moment, where Moses has the encounter with God. And God tells Moses, "Hey, I've got a plan. I've got something different for you." And so this preparation time of being in the prince for 40 years and now being in the wilderness for 40 years, that's over. It's time to change. It's time to turn the page and open a new chapter. And so, by the way, Moses never recovers from this interaction with God. He's never the same after this time with the burning bush and God's presence. He's never the same. And so that's one thing that we want to do. In our church, we talk about connect, grow, go, right? And so we know that just like Moses encountered God, he was never the same. It's the same with all of us. Whenever we have an encounter with God, he does things. He says things. He reveals things. He touches things in our hearts, and we're never the same again. And so even as a worship team, as leaders, we say, okay, our desire is to help people connect with God. So in the worship time, if you can have a touch with God, a connecting time with God, then our job is complete. Because God will say to you what he wants to say. He will show you the path. He will convict or draw or whatever he wants to do. And so we want to connect people with God, just like Moses had this connection with God. And so what happens is, so if you read the rest of chapter 3 and then part of chapter 4, it's really just an argument that Moses is having with God. It's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go do that job. I've been there before. I know those people. I'm happy out here in the wilderness. Me and the sheep are getting along just fine. Like, no, I have something else for you to do. No. So there's this big argument going back and forth. But you know what's happening, even in an argument? Conversation. So let me just encourage you today. If you don't want to talk to God at all because you're so mad at him, just argue with him. Go for it. Just talk to him, right? Don't run away. That's what the enemy wants. But just talk to him. Even if the words aren't necessarily nice coming out of your mouth, he can handle it, and he would rather you have the conversation, because in the conversation, the renewing happens, because he will show you things that you didn't see before if you'll just have the conversation. So talk with him, and he'll renew your mind. And so he's in this conversation. He's going along back and forth, but let's jump over to chapter 4 and see how this is ending up. Chapter 4, verse 1, this Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me, or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. You see what's happening? So they're having this argument, and then God just says, you know what? Let's just get practical for a second, okay? I appreciate all your theories, all your ideas, but let's just get practical for a second. What are you holding in your hand? And Moses is like, what? Oh, I didn't even realize, because he has it with him all the time, right? He's like, it's a staff. God, you didn't know? I have a staff. So did God not know what it was? No. But he's just bringing this down to the real, right? He said, okay, what are you holding in your hand? I'm holding a staff. And then God gives him a real clear command. It's not complicated. Throw it on the ground. And here's what Moses has to do in this moment. He has to decide if he's going to follow or not, okay? Like, no, that's silly. I'm not going to do that. And he keeps it in his hand. Game over, right? But Moses was brave enough to say, okay. And he throws it on the ground. It didn't become a snake, by the way, in case you're wondering. That would have been cool. Evelyn, let's work on that next week. Maybe we can figure that out. He lets it go. He throws it down on the ground, and it becomes a snake, okay? Now, in the wilderness, they didn't have very many emergency rooms, okay? And so people that were out there, if a snake gets you, you're in trouble, because it's a long way to get home to have someone help you, right? So it goes on the ground. It becomes a snake, and Moses, it says very clearly, Moses runs. Moses says, I'm out of here. Now, we have snakes in Lantau Island, right? Anybody seen snakes? Everybody raises their hand. I've seen a couple of snakes just in the one a little bit of year we've been here, and every time I see one, I'm voting with Moses, right? No way. I don't like that thing. So Moses runs away, but then God comes back to him, and he says, hey, pick it up by the tail, which again is a little scary. Pick it up by the tail, and it becomes a staff again in his hand. Do you see what God is doing? He's transforming Moses. The staff is like the normal thing that every shepherd has to carry, right? He has to have this thing. It's a defense against all the bad guys that are out there, right? Sometimes it's a weapon that you use against the bad things. It's a prod for the sheep. Whenever he's trying to walk and climb in a rough area, it's a support. And so you have all these different things that a staff will do for him, and now he's got a whole new thing the staff will do. It's a whole different world, right? And so I just wonder, you know, Moses, whenever he lays down at night from now on, and he has his staff, he's like, okay, which one is it? You know, is this the stick version or the snake version, right? because the staff is now different. It's not the same anymore. It's been transformed. And guys, this is just step one. This is just step one. There's a lot more that's coming later. But here's what's happened. So the staff, I mean, he starts with the staff. He says, hey, you know what? Even your staff is changing because you're not the same person anymore. And think about what happens with the staff. Okay, so that was the first thing. It becomes a snake. But think about the future with the staff. So he uses the staff, if you remember, to touch the Nile River and it becomes blood. Remember that? He uses the staff whenever it's time to cross the Red Sea. He holds it up in the air, right? And the waters are parted. He hits a rock with the staff and water comes from a rock. Whenever they're fighting the Amalekites and he holds the staff in the air, his army's winning. When his arms get tired, right, and he puts it down, his army starts losing. And so there's this whole new world that the staff is part of. And Moses is being pulled into this new world with this staff, this transformation that's happening. And so I love that Moses, whenever it was time to throw it on the ground, Moses actually did it. He actually was brave enough to throw it on the ground and just go with what God said. And so the first thing I want to encourage us today is to remember to embrace God's renovation project in your life. When God says, I have this for you, don't just say, oh, no, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. Just go with it. Embrace it. He's doing something amazing. So embrace God's renovation process in your life. And like I said, this is just change number one, right? Think about what else is happening. If you just look at chapter 4, he has this other trick with his hand he puts in and comes out with leprosy or not. He has this conversation about how well he speaks. He's going to have this reunion with his brother. He has to go back to his father-in-law and quit his job, all right? So he's going to quit his job again. This time he's going to go back to Egypt. So he has to move away from Midian back to Egypt. So all these transformation steps are happening in his life. So the staff is just step one. And so we have to understand that it's a process that we're going through. And don't get in a big hurry about that. So be patient. Be patient with God's renovation process in your life. You know, sometimes we do try to get ahead of God. Think, I'm here, but I want to be here. He's like, hang on, just this one today. And then we'll do something else tomorrow. So be patient as God is changing you. And as I think about that, I almost immediately think about people that are around us as well, right? So we need to be patient with God's process in our lives and with the process in other people's lives as well. Because sometimes we think that person next to us should be here instead of here, and maybe they should, but they still have to take one step at a time. It comes back to our marriage series, right? Where we have to understand, look, you can't control those people. Even though you think you can or you thought you could when you marry them, I'll fix them. Nope. Doesn't work that way. So be patient with them as well. You're on a journey. They're on a journey. We have to be patient with God's renovation process in our lives. And so God took Moses through a process. It's very clear. He was a prince, and then he was a shepherd, and then he goes to being this incredible leader of God's people. So what process is God taking you through? Can you see it? If you stop and look back, can you see the steps he's been taking you through, the journey he has you on? Can you ask him maybe to show you? What process are you taking me through? Be patient in that. And the last thing I would say is trust God's renovation process in your life. Trust his process. At the end of Moses' life, I think it's so cool, it gives us this little tidbit, Deuteronomy 34:7. He's taken the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've walked through the wilderness for 40 years. They're on the edge of the promised land. Joshua is the next leader that will take them in. And Moses' time is finished. So he goes up on the mountain, Mount Moriah. And it says here, Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120, 40 more years, right? But I love this little tidbit, this little specific detail. It says, his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. God provided everything Moses needed for his journey. He had everything he needed for his part in God's story. God provided it. And so for you as well, trust him. He will provide. He will give exactly what you need. And so as you follow him, you can walk in confidence. You can walk in faith that God will take care of you. You can trust him. God will provide all that you need. If you look back at Moses' life, you know, he was happy being a shepherd, but God's like, no, I've got a bigger role for you. In the Old Testament, he's the greatest influence in the whole Old Testament, Moses. He was a shepherd, and then God had something more. And so Here's the tough thing for us, is whenever we have renovation, whether it's a house or whatever, you have to let go of the old stuff, don't you? The old paint color, the old items that you used to keep in this spot, the old whatever, the old furniture, it has to go away for the new to come, right? And you know this, but when it comes down to the moment of actually taking that special thing that you've had for however many years out the door, you're thinking, oh, do I really want to do this? But the old has to go for the new to come. And so for us, I just want to ask the question today, do you believe God wants to give you better things? Because if you don't believe that, you won't let go of the old. You won't be willing to lay it down and receive the new thing he has for you. Do you believe? Will you let go? And so today, as I'm trying to think, okay, how do we get really practical about this renovation in our lives? As I've been reflecting, the Spirit just brings to mind that question that God had for Moses. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? And the answer for Moses was, it's a staff. It's what I use for my job. It's what I have every day. I carry it with me all the time. It's a staff. It seems real silly. It seems real plain. It seems real boring. But God is like, no, I have something really cool to do with the staff. And so I come to us today and I think about us practically. If God's going to be changing us, if he's going to be renovating, transforming us, what is it that you're holding in your hand this morning? And I've been trying to think, okay, how do we get practical with this? And so maybe for you, it's your phone. Do you hold your phone in your hand a lot? I know I do, probably more than I should, right? Does God want to do something with our phones, something different? Does he want to change something? Does he want to take this from being just something you have to being a miraculous thing, something that he uses for good? What are you holding in your hand? Maybe it's something that you use every day at work, a computer. Maybe it's a pen or a pencil. Maybe it's a joystick or a whatever the pilot's, what's it called? The yoke? I don't know. Should have researched that one. What are you holding in your hand? What are you using every day? What is it that's just practical right in your face that you would never think God could use this for his purposes? And he says, will you let it go? Will you let it be transformed into something completely different? Will you let it become a snake that's a miracle and then you pick it back up again? What are you holding in your hand this morning? Just practically, what does God want to change? What does he want to transform about your life? And it starts with what you're holding in your hand. Will you let God make this change? How does he want to change old to new in your life? Will you bow your heads? Will you close your eyes? Now maybe you're a Christian here this morning. I think most people here this morning are followers of Jesus. And as you think about the question, what are you holding in your hand? Maybe the Spirit brings something really clearly to mind for you. And I just wonder if you're willing to do what God says with that. Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to do something different, to see that thing, whatever it is, change and take a whole new role that you would never have dreamed of? Maybe there's something else the Spirit is saying to you about transformation, about renovation in your life, taking out the old, bringing in the new, and you just say, okay, God, yes, I'm ready for this renovation in my life. Will you take the step? Will you trust? Will you embrace this morning? There may be some here in the room who are not yet believers. You've been exploring, and you've been on the edge. You've been looking at this and thinking about it. You've heard about Jesus being sent, how he died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. You've heard about how God loves you. You know that you have this sin. In fact, you've thought so much about the guilt and the shame of your sin, and you have to carry that, and you're tired of carrying it, and you wish you could just get rid of it, and today you can. if you'll take the step of faith, if you'll believe, take that step of believing. Cross the line from explorer to a child of God, a follower of Jesus. You can do that today. You know, there's a number of ways that people have taken this step of faith. It can be an outward declaration with your mouth. One of the most common ones is just a simple prayer, though. And so maybe today a prayer is the way you would want to express that I'm taking the step of faith. I'm going to believe. And so there's nothing magic about the prayer. It's just this conversation with God where you say, yes, I believe. And so if you're at a place today where you're ready to take that step of faith, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer, a prayer that might go like this. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I trust Jesus today for forgiveness. I trust Jesus for life forever. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, there's nothing magic about the prayer, but your heart, when you say, yes, I trust Jesus. I turn from my sin, I trust Jesus. Something amazing happens. You have become a child of God. So if that's you this morning, if you took that step, man, we want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you. As your heads are still bowed, as your eyes are still closed, we're going to have people down here at the front who would love to pray with you and encourage you in that first step. Man, if you've taken that step, these first hours, days are critical to encourage you in that new walk. And so please tell us. You can check the box on the Connect card and put that in the offering bag when it comes around here in a minute. As I said, you can have someone pray with you. You can tell one of us afterward. We want to encourage you on this new journey. Father, I thank you for your desire not to leave us where we've been, but to take us somewhere new. And Father, we look at Moses' life and we see the transformation you did, and we think, wow, that's amazing. It could never happen with me. And yet we see people who have trusted you to allow you to make this transformation, the changing out of the old and in with the new. And Father, we see their lives, how different they are. And we realize you still do this work today. And so, Father, will you do a renovation work in our hearts? Holy Spirit, will you speak to us? Will you convict where there's sin that needs to be turned away from, where there's a new path, a new use of whatever that thing is in our hand that we carry with us all the time? Will you work in our hearts? Will you transform us as we are in communication with you? I thank you for the abundant life you desire to pour out in all of our lives. And I just pray for your strength, your courage, your faith in our hearts to trust you and to take that step, to grow, to move forward into the life you have for us. May we surrender whatever that part of our hearts we've been holding back, whatever that is, may we surrender it. Thank you, Lord. Just take a second and pray and just talk with God about whatever it is the Spirit is speaking to you about. In just a moment, we're going to have the time of worship through giving, and so the offering bags will be passed around, and so if you want to give back at this time, you can do that. Also, the Connect cards, if you're a guest, we'd love to know that you're here. If you have a decision or a prayer request or a praise, you can fill that out, tear it out, and drop it in the bag as well. Let me just pray at this time for our offering. Father, we thank you for so many blessings that you've poured out in our lives. Thank you for the chance now to give back a little bit. And Lord, I think about so many of us, and some are in great shape financially and some are not in great shape financially. And so for some people, this is a difficult exercise. It's a true sacrifice to give today. And so I pray that you'll encourage them and help them to have a cheerful heart as they obey and give what you lead them to give. And God, we thank you for how you provide for us and you take care of our needs. And so as a church, I pray that you'll help these funds to be used for your glory, to lift up the name of Jesus, that more people can speak the name of Jesus in worship. More voices can sing around the great throne one day, and we thank you for the chance to be a part of what you're doing. So, Lord, please bless this time of giving, each person who's giving, and what is given, and we offer this all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would stand together, we'll continue to worship, and we'll have a time of worship through giving.